Let's open God's holy word to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 1. Jeremiah, chapter 1. Our text is verses 4 and 5. We'll read the chapter. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive, in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defenced city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. To that point, we read the inspired word of God. Our text is verses 4 and 5. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Beloved of God, notice how many times the word I is used in verse 5. Before I formed thee, I knew thee, I sanctified thee, I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations. The great subject of the text is God who speaks those words, I. But God, as he relates to Jeremiah, Jehovah is speaking to Jeremiah something about himself. He's revealing to Jeremiah something about his own place in Jeremiah's life, showing Jeremiah that his place in Jeremiah's life has been and is now is absolutely sovereign, comprehensive over every aspect of Jeremiah's existence. When we speak of God's sovereignty, we're speaking of two things. First of all, we're speaking of God's legal right to rule over all things. His legal right to rule over all things, to determine what he will for all things, to command what he will for all things. A country has, we sometimes say, sovereign rights over its borders. It has the legal right to rule over its territory that is within its borders. Well, God owns the territory of the entire universe. Everything is his, and therefore all has his dominion over it. He has the legal right to rule and determine what he will for all things. He has that right because he created it all. It's all his. As king over it, he has the rights to determine what he will for it. And then with respect to his people, there's even a second layer of that legal right. For his people, he has redeemed them and brought them into his spiritual kingdom. As king over them, he has a twofold right. Not only as creator does he have legal rights over them, but as redeemer, he has legal rights over them. That's first when we speak about God's sovereignty, the legal right to rule. Then second, God's sovereignty includes the absolute power to carry out that rule that is his legal right. France is a sovereign nation. It has the legal right to rule over its territory. But in World War II, when Hitler advanced into France and overcame it, though the French had the legal right to rule over their territory, they did not have the power any longer to exercise that legal right. The power was taken away from them. But God has both always, the legal right to rule over all things and the power to execute what is his legal right. There is no Germany. There is no devil. There is nothing that can push back against him. He has power to carry out his rule over all things. God is absolutely sovereign. And now here in the text, God is taking this grand, glorious, big truth, and he's bringing it to bear upon Jeremiah's individual life. For the encouragement and for the comfort and for the prodding of Jeremiah to fulfill his calling. And what he says to Jeremiah must be brought to bear also on the lives of each of God's individual children who are here this morning. Even the little ones, who are God's children too. Three things God says to Jeremiah as he brings his sovereignty to bear upon Jeremiah's life. Number one, was sovereign over your existence before you were ever born, in the planning and determining of your life in all eternity. Before, Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you, I sanctified you, I ordained you. Second, as he applies his sovereignty to Jeremiah's life, and then Jeremiah, in time when you came into this world, I formed you. I formed you according to my plan in eternity. And third, And Jeremiah, I'm telling you all of this because you need to know it. It's important for you to know it, and for all my people to know it. The theme is the sovereign of Jeremiah's life. Let's notice first, sovereign eternal purpose. Second, a sovereign forming in time. And third, a sovereign revelation of these truths to Jeremiah. The sovereign of Jeremiah's life, sovereign purpose, sovereign forming, and sovereign revelation. A child of God belongs to God. God is his father. But children, when do God's people begin to belong to God? When do they begin to belong to God? It's not just when you come to years of discretion and you feel the weight of your sins upon you and you ask for forgiveness for those sins. It's not even just when you're regenerated, maybe in the womb of your mother as a child of the covenant. But even before that, we belong to God. God has an eternal decree that determines all things that are going to happen in time and space. And at the center of that decree is Jesus Christ and his elect people in Jesus Christ. And that's the time, that's when we begin to belong to God. That time when he makes that decree in eternity is the moment when we begin to belong to him. And that's the truth that God is describing to Jeremiah in the text, when he says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. I knew thee." But it's striking that God here uses the word know instead of the word choose. Before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, and you expect him to say, "I chose you as my child in my eternal decree," but instead he says, "I knew you. I knew you." It's speaking of the same truth, sovereign eternal election, but from a different point of view. I knew you. It's important to notice that because that's a word that saves this marvelous truth of God's eternal choosing, his electing. It saves that truth from being a cold, abstract, divine rolling of the dice, but reveals that his eternal choosing of people to be his own is in fact an intimate act of eternal love. As you likely know, that word know describes intimacy throughout the Old Testament. It's the same word used in Genesis 4, verse 1, and Abram knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. A word of intimacy. The same word is used of God with Israel in Hosea 13, verses 4 and 5. "Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought." Both those times, it's the same word. And remember that in the book of Hosea, the great image of God's covenant is the marriage between Hosea and Gomer. And God is using that image throughout the book. And now he speaks of his covenant and he says, "Thou shalt know no God but me. Thou shalt have no intimate relationship with a God but with me. For I did know thee in the wilderness this way. It's a word that does not mean simply to comprehend something, to be cognizantly aware of something, but it means to set one's heart upon, to know in intimacy and love, so that you could very well translate our text now in Jeremiah 1. Before I formed you, Jeremiah, I had a relation with you in intimacy and love as I chose you to be my child. This is the Reformed doctrine of foreknowledge. Foreknowledge. If you ask the question, what was the starting point in the depths of God's being? What was the pond out of which predestination with respect to his children developed? Out of what did God choose certain ones to himself and reject others? As far as we can go, as far as Scripture reveals to us, is that we can say, it's because he wanted to set his own covenant love that he had within himself upon a people and express that to them and relate to them that way. Creatures in that intimacy and that love. Not that those people that he chose to be his own, to be recipients of this covenant life, were more lovable than the ones that he rejected. And that's the pond out of which the choosing came about. But rather, he decided to set his love upon some. And out of this, it was in his heart. He set it upon these. And wanting to reveal his justice and wrath alongside, he did not set it upon all. The apostle puts this knowing, this intimate foreknowledge, before predestination in the golden chain of salvation in Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. He set his love upon these and predestinated them to end with himself in the highest expression of that love. And notice there in Romans 8, verse 29, that it does not say, and their choice that he foresaw, he then, after that, predestinated. But whom he did foreknow. He's not foretelling choices that are going to be made. He's foreknowing persons. He's setting his love upon persons and then determining their destiny out of that love that he had set upon them. Individual persons. God did not just take a random slice of humanity without any really seeing of the individual people and just say, well, here's enough. I'll put them over here. Or grab a handful of marbles out of a bag and say, this looks like about the right number, and set them out. I'll choose these ones. But individual persons in his mind as he thought of who he would create them to be, set his love upon them. Upon an Abraham, upon an Isaac, upon a John, upon a Paul, upon a Jeremiah, and you, child of God, put your name there. He made them to come together and to fit together as one body that he would love not only as individuals, but as individuals come together as a whole too. There is no such thing as an impersonal love. Love is by definition personal. And that's what this foreknowledge is. Isn't that wonderful to think about? That he had this personal love relation toward you. Child of God, before you ever existed in this world, before he created you, and he knew everything about you. He knew your inmost thoughts, your personality, your strengths, your weaknesses, and he was related to you. He knew you. He came close to you in his own divine mind in eternity. And because he set his love upon you there in eternity, he predestinated you. He determined your destination beforehand out of that love he had for you. Before you had any cognizance of your own self or any cognizance of him, he was already loving you. And it makes it even more astounding that he does not do this with all. He determined from eternity not to know all this way, but to reject others. Knowing oneself in Jesus Christ, one can say, this is true of me. I know this is true of me. From eternity past, he's known me, and there's never been a moment when he did not know me in love for me. And now, out of that knowledgeable, intimate love for you, he not only predetermined your end in the highest fruition of that love, but he also determined every single step of your path to that end. Your whole life, as he did for Jeremiah, he planned it in eternity, every detail, out of that same love that he set upon him in his foreknowledge. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before you were born, Jeremiah, I determined your whole life for you. Catch that, won't you? Before you were born, I ordained you to be a prophet. Ordination is something that happens in time. It's something that happens when you come of a certain age, you're ordained into an office. I ordained you before you were ever born to be a prophet. In my decree, out of my foreknowledge of love for you, I determined that your path to your eternal destination would not go through a life of being called to be a carpenter or to be a businessman, but one through which I would speak to my people. I sanctified you. I set you apart unto this. Before you were born, I carved you out of the human race as my child and determined your whole life as my child. And beloved, that's not only true for Jeremiah, that's true for all of God's people. He not only in love chose us from all eternity and set our destination from all eternity, but he set us apart as his people and ordained us to have the life that he would grant to us, the life that you are living right now, the callings that you have, the purposes that you have, the days that you have that are not finished yet. That means that your identity does not even begin with your own self-awareness. Strange thing about growing up, isn't it? You start to become aware of yourself and aware of what's been put inside of you. Your own gifts, your own weaknesses. But what God is telling Jeremiah here is that his self-identity does not begin with his own recognition of himself. All of that about him has been known and set out previous to his own knowing of it himself. My identity has always been, it's been set, and it's found in what God knows and determines about me from all eternity. Jeremiah's salvation and Jeremiah's life does not begin with Jeremiah's recognition of his salvation and his life. It began long before in eternity. He already existed in eternity in the mind of God before he knew his own existence. God related to him in love and determined every step of his life in that love to the end he had for him. What a comfort that is for all of God's people. What a comfort that is to the parents who brought their child for baptism this morning. God of the covenant saves in the line of generations. And though it's true, he does not promise to save every last child of the church. He tells us that he loves the children of the church and he saves the children of the church. He redeems them. And organically, God's people look at the children of the church and they say, before I put this little one in the car seat on the way home from the hospital, he's known from all eternity who this child is and who this child would be personally related to the children of the church, intimately. He's had a long and ancient history already with this child that I've had 20 minutes of history with. He's determined every aspect of their life out of that love, who they will be, what they will be. Out of that intimate knowledge of love set upon them. What a comfort for parents who have been in the difficult circumstance of never knowing their child. Who've experienced miscarriage or the loss of a child in infancy. God sometimes determines to take his elect children to himself out of the same foreknowledge of love that determines their existence and their life and end and their way to that end before they ever really step foot in this world, before they're ever even known with that reflection of that intimacy and love by their parents. For a parent to be able to say, I have no reason to doubt that he took that child to himself. And it was his good and wise decree from eternity past, though this child bypass my personal intimate relation with him, that this child go directly to his, to the fullness of his personal intimate relation with him. It's on the basis of Jeremiah 1, 4, and 5, and other passages that the canons of Dort says this, since we are to judge of the will of God from his word, which testifies that the children of believers are holy not by nature, but in virtue of the covenant of grace, in which they, together with the parents, are comprehended, godly parents have no reason to doubt of the election and salvation of their children, whom it pleaseth God to call out of this life in their infancy. God has a place and a plan determined for each one of his elect, even his elect ones that never come into this world. And God has the sovereign right and the sovereign power to carry out his determination for them when it comes time for them to be formed. And for everything that he's planned and determined to be carried out in their lives. It is not the case that this was the plan that God had determined in eternity for them. But now, when it gets to be time for them to be formed and to come into this world, that now there's all these other forces that may undo what his determination has been, that may affect it here or there. But in his sovereignty, he has right and power to rule over all things. All things, and therefore his determination comes to pass. Yes, Jeremiah, before I formed thee, I knew thee and set you apart. But in time, I did form you. I formed thee. That was me. I put you together in your mother's womb. I carried out this determination that I had for you. Take a look at the children. God did that. Brad, Leanne, if you're listening back there, I'm sure you've done that. You look at your little child and you think, God did this. He put this being together. I formed thee, Jeremiah. When our little ones ask us, Mom, Dad, where do babies come from? We don't have to squirm and make up some excuse and change the subject. They come from God. God forms them. He put them together, children, in the womb of their mother. God determines everything in eternity out of his foreknowledge of love for his people. He carries that out. His forming is the beginning of a whole forming of an entire life of carrying out that plan and purpose and decree. Think about it. Was it an accident that Jeremiah was given to a priest and a priest's wife from Anathoth? He had to be given to that priest and to his wife. He had to be given his genes from the genes of Hilkiah and of his wife. Where else would he get his fire and his passion from that you read about in his prophecy? Where did he get the boldness and yet the sensitivity? Where did he get the melancholy that he's so known for? Everything God wanted this particular prophet to have at this particular time in the history of Israel. He formed him from the genetic makeup of his parents in order to carry out his eternal determination for his life. Where would he get his growth and spiritual faithfulness in this apostate Israel? How would that God-given personality be filled up with a Godward direction of life? Where did Jeremiah get his understanding of the times, his true religion that was not merely form or outward as Judah's religion mostly was at this point? By God's regenerated work in him, of course, but fed through the means of his parents, a godly father and mother who themselves understood the times, who would teach him the things of God from his youth up. In addition, in a home that was committed to coming under the chief means of grace. Striking when you read the book of Jeremiah. There's echoes of the prophecy of Hosea. Jeremiah obviously listened to Hosea preach regularly as he was growing up. Came under those means of grace. God formed him for this purpose. God formed his life. This is God's sovereignty too in Jeremiah's life. Not only that he foreknew and ordained before these things, but he carried it out in the life of his child. And he still does this in accord with his eternal determination. Coming out of an intimate knowledge of love, he's planned which children should be given to which parents, at what time, at what place. And he carries that out perfectly. He's determined that this child, Eva, would be given to Brad and Leanne to be raised by them and no other. Right now, in his plan and purpose with this child's life, it had to be. It doesn't just happen to be this way. It had to be this way. That she's born and raised by these two. She gets her genetic makeup from these two. She must get her understanding and insight to spiritual things by the work of the Spirit through the means of their home and the chief means of grace that she's brought under. By the help of you, by the life of the school. It's marvelous. It's four applications from this reality that the God who determines all this also now carries out in accord with his determination when and where he has determined for the life of each individual child. First of all, we would conclude from that that the conception of every child is not by chance. It is not something that just happens or doesn't happen. At times, it may be a surprise to the parents. They might even use that word accident. It was an accident. But it's no accident to God. And it's no surprise to God. God determined that this child be conceived precisely at this time, at this place, this way, for the specific purpose of that child in his kingdom to the glory of his name. Might not have been our plan, but it was his plan. Second, the application of this certainly is in regards to the evil of abortion, isn't it? Look what God says here. I formed thee in the womb. You, second person singular, not I formed a fetus or a lump of tissue, but I formed a you, I formed a thee, I formed a person, and to murder that you is to murder a person. Abortion is murder. Third, we may properly glean from this that God often sets apart our children in time unto himself spiritually before they are even born, as he did with Jeremiah. In order to set apart Jeremiah for his task as a prophet, he had to set apart Jeremiah in regeneration. Jeremiah was formed physically and spiritually so that when he grew up, he came under that means of grace and could receive it and could grow under it and could take Hosea's words and broaden it out into the prophecy that he must preach. He was raised a child of God and he experienced conversion in his life at a young age and daily. So too, often, not always, but often our children formed in the womb of godly parents, raised in a covenant home, are set apart, formed spiritually too in regeneration. There, and this is part of God's carrying out his eternal determination and purpose for them in the kingdom. They must be able to receive that word as it comes upon them in home and church and school. And God sets them apart unto himself. He forms them in the inner man too. Fourth, we learn from this that God has a calling. Callings, plural. For each of us. When he does form us and bring us into this world. Purpose. We're not all prophets, to be sure, as Jeremiah was, but whatever position he has you in right now, whatever that might be, whether you think it is great or small, and whatever positions, plural, he's determined that from all eternity. And he's carried that determination forward in your life and formed you. And it's been forming your life according to that decree so that could fill that position just as he did with Jeremiah. And he wants you to know that. As he wanted Jeremiah to know this. Jeremiah needs to know all this about the sovereignty of God over his life. This cannot remain hidden from Jeremiah. He needs to know that God foreknew him in love, and that he destined him to be with himself and determined the path for his life unto himself all in eternity. And then when the time came, he formed him himself with his own hands and determined how his life would go and carried it out in his life and home. Jeremiah has to know this because Jeremiah has doubts. His doubts about his calling. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Jeremiah is a teenager at this time. He exaggerates a little bit, but he makes the point. I can't do this. I can't speak. I'm not qualified for this task of being a prophet. I'm too young for this. Besides, the Judah that I'm called to preach to is full of wickedness and stubbornness and rebelliousness. And not only that, but you're calling me to be a prophet to the nations, verse 4. I'm a teenager. How can I possibly do this? And God reveals to Jeremiah these things for the encouragement of his prophet, so that he understands, I have determined this for you. This is your life. I have given every aspect of your life to you, your parents, everything that has surrounded you for this. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, etc. It is itself an act of intimacy and love that God comes to Jeremiah and tells him this. He does the same to us, beloved, for our comfort, for our encouragement, to spur us on in our callings. Because it is a comfort, it is an encouragement, it does spur us on in our callings. How often you'll hear people say, yes, God's eternal decree is revealed on the pages of sacred scripture, but we ought not talk about it. It should not be preached from the pulpit. It is not something for the people in the pew to know about. It's something for theologians to talk about, write about, discuss among themselves, but it should not be preached to the people. It should be hidden from them. Just tell the people what they're supposed to do and send them home, and that's the end of it. This is so unbelievably wrong. God reveals his eternal decree concerning all things and concerning his people individually. That there is a decree concerning his people individually, precisely because they need to know this. It's a vital part of their comfort and encouragement. It's not just an extra that you can take or leave. It is imperative. I have known you personally in intimacy and love from all eternity. The very first second I thought of you in my mind, I set my love upon you. And I determined your whole existence out of that love. I put you in this home. I put you in this situation. I put you in this place for this. This is necessary for those who've had Jeremiah's upbringing to know. Those of us here this morning who would say, I've had the most sound covenant home and upbringing that there could be, been raised like Jeremiah was raised, such godly parents. God often puts a lot of responsibility on these, to whom much is given, much is required, to be elders, teachers, whatever else. And sometimes these can resist the calling and the responsibility. And this spurs them on. Don't you see? It didn't just happen to be that it puts you in that home, that you've had such a solid upbringing that's formed you. But at the same time, this is necessary, beloved, for those here this morning who would say, I haven't had the upbringing of Jeremiah. Would say that the home that I was raised in was maybe a Christian home, a very weak Christian home. Or maybe the home I was raised in was not a home of believing parents at all. And there's all this baggage that I carry with me and sins that have been committed against me and things that I battle that others don't seem to battle. And there's personality traits that I have from being brought up in a weak or unbelieving home. God says to you too, I ordained all of this for you, for your particular place in my kingdom, and for your particular callings, maybe also as an office bearer, as a parent, as a Sunday school teacher, as anything. Not as an excuse for any sin that has to be overcome or any weakness that has to be overcome, but maybe for the understanding, for knowing what it's like, for being able to reach out to one that another can't. I carried out your life as I eternally determined for your place in my kingdom. And I have you in that place now because I determined it for you. And so maybe you have to get past the victim mentality and the woe is me mentality and see that your life is perfectly ordained and arranged to fill a place in the body of Jesus Christ. Hear God say to you, you too I have foreknown in love. Every aspect of who you are is determined from before the foundation of the earth. I have an ancient history with you already. And I will carry out my purpose in your life. And you will serve me in your life. And you will see I have a good purpose for you. And whatever that calling is, there's this on top of it that we all have, and that is to be prophets. Maybe not in the office of minister, but prophet in the office of believer. Ordained to speak in whatever sphere he gives us to speak in our homes, in our work, in the church, maybe even in the nations. And all of us, in an age like Jeremiah's age, an age of apostasy, an age where there is falling away, an age where it's not always easy to speak. It wasn't easy for Jeremiah. Read the rest of the book. He's mocked. He's put in stocks. He's thrown into a pit and in a dungeon. At one point, he's so upset with God about it, he curses the day he was born. But what God reveals to him here is what would carry him through. God foreknew me and God ordained me to this from all eternity. And he told me, he revealed it to me to encourage me. Every child of God must take that home. Every child of God must take that home as revealed in the preaching of the word and revealed in the sacrament of baptism. As he says to you, I've set you apart unto myself in eternity and in time. I've set you apart in the set apart one, the Son whom I have joined you to, who from eternity knew this intimacy and knowledge as the only begotten, whose life I determined would be a path that you would not take, a path into eternal hell for your sake. And in him, didn't you see it? Buried with him and raised with him. In him, you know that you are one of these. I have foreknown you. I have determined all for you. And your calling now is the one I give you. Remember it. I'm the sovereign of your life. Serve me. Amen. Father, thanks be to Thee for Thy word, its truth. Apply it to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.